Hi, I'm Sandy Rakowitz, and this is Linda Tellington Jones. Today we have another wonderful inspiration for you from Voices of Nature. And I think Linda has a surprise also.
I do, Sandy. And I'm really excited to introduce you today to a message from the Moreton Bay Fig Tree. But I want to give you a little background, first of all. And because the fig tree gives the message that we are to recognize the kingdoms of the plants and the animals and the minerals and the nature spirits, I wanted to bring in this beautiful nature spirit because this wonderful horse and fairy and my crystal here represents the stones, the crystals. And I'm going to, I'm wearing my octopus, actually, and I have a particular connection and affinity to octopus because I had the great honor of actually tea touching an octopus when it was brought out of the ocean and was on its way to be shipped to the Baltimore Aquarium. And years later, when I was a keynote presenter at the National Zookeepers Conference, there was actually a keeper there from the Baltimore Aquarium who said that she had been there when that octopus I had tea touched came into the aquarium, and they knew the story behind it. And they said that that one lived longer than any that they had, which is really interesting, right? And I'm wearing my whales because I had the great experience, which we will share with you, of working with the orca whale, Willie, and from the movie Free Willy, and his name was Keiko. And that's another story that I believe it's part of this Heaven on Earth series of recognizing the importance of our connection to nature and to Mother Earth and to all it is. And this book by Michael Rhodes it was Michael Rhodes who I think it's about 1985, I went to visit him, and he suggested that I go out and I talk to this tree, this 600-year-old Moreton Bay fig tree. And that is the fig tree that had given him the messages for the first of his 22 books, the first book called Talking with Nature. And in that book, in the acknowledgments, he talks about the fact that I had come to him and suggested that he had to write about his experiences. And so last year, Michael Rhodes wrote to me and asked me if I would write an introduction to his 22nd book, this book called, Entering the Secret World of Nature. And so I'm going to read you, before I actually give you the fig tree message, which has a wonderful message in it, I'm going to read this foreword that I wrote, because when Michael first wrote to me and asked me if I would write the foreword, I said, oh, no, I'm really not good at writing forewords. You know, it's just not my, it's not my thing. And so he wrote back and said, but you have to. And he hadn't given me the name of the book. And when he said it's Entering the Secret World of Nature, I said, of course, I'm really the only one that can write this foreword, because I was the one who was sent to him and said that he had to write about his amazing experiences that he's had. And now all his 22 books have brought people around the world in the workshops that Michael Rhodes gives, this amazing connection. And we're going to be talking about some of this during our Heaven on Earth series. So this is what I wrote, and it has very much to do with all of our course. My entry into the secret world of nature occurred more than three decades ago as a result of an invitation from Michael to talk to an ancient Moreton Bay fig tree, the same tree that inspired Michael's groundbreaking book, Talking with Nature. I had journeyed to Michael's home in Bellingham, close to the eastern shore of Queensland, Australia, carrying a message. I received while meditating in the heart of the Australian outback near the dusty settlement of Alice Springs. And I had led a group called Transformation on the Trail. It's something that I used to do each year, is to take people to various places around the planet. I had spent the night before with a small group of spiritual explorers on an all-night vigil on the top of the giant red rock called Uluru, in a state of awe at the vastness of the galaxy and a breathtaking feeling of oneness with the entire universe. As I reached the desert floor after a really hazardous, descent down the 1,000-foot rock, I experienced an overpowering intuition, knowing that I must visit Michael to encourage him to write a book about his remarkable connection with nature spirits and his cooperation with kangaroos that had overrun his pasture lands at the center that they had called homelands. I had learned to trust my intuition, no matter how strange it might seem, because of an astrological prophecy I had received for my 30th birthday. The prophecy stated that in my lifetime, I would develop a form of communication that would spread around the world. And in order to do so, I must learn to trust my intuition. Opening a Rosicrucian book in my husband's library, I found the definition of intuition as unlearned knowledge. I interpret that as the direct knowing that Michael describes in chapter 4, a knowing we must learn to trust in order to become one with nature. Learning to trust my intuition has been a cornerstone in my life ever since. And so I had no qualms about phoning Michael from Alice Springs and asking if I could come to deliver a message. Michael and I met for the first time the week before at the One Earth Gathering at the Brisbane Awareness Center. During the week-long conference, Michael shared riveting stories recalling mutual cooperation and agreements with kangaroos who had been overrunning his pastures. Absolutely mesmerizing. Of even greater interest to me were his captivating encounters with fairy rings and fairy folk. I had been enchanted by the fairy kingdom for many years. Until the Brisbane conference, however, my most beguiling experience was leading a small group of 5-year-old children at the Esalen Institute on the wild Big Sur coast of California on an adventure searching for fairies in the Esalen flower garden. It was a delightful exploration that yielded excited speculation, but no fairies revealed themselves on that day. That was about to change, however, at a gathering a world away. During the closing minutes of the Brisbane conference, I had an overpowering feeling that I must speak before the crowd of 100 international participants dispersed. I stood up spontaneously and asked if anyone was interested in joining me on a trip to the Brisbane Botanical Gardens to meditate in the hopes of having a fairy experience. A dozen hands shot up in the air, and it was agreed that we would take the conference bus to the gardens in the afternoon. I wish I had a photo of everyone who joined me that auspicious afternoon. As we sat down on the grass in a circle to meditate, I had a strong feeling that nature spirits were expecting us, and I silently prayed for fairy energy to grace our circle. Just seconds after I closed my eyes, 2 small figures appeared magically in the center of our circle, a male and a female fairy, about 8 inches tall, hovered at eye level. The male wore, and I get so excited when I think about this right now, the male wore a shining crown with 9 points. He remained in the middle of the circle, spinning in place. The rays of the late afternoon sun shone through the limbs of a magnificent jacaranda tree, reflecting off the points of his crown, sending a beam of light into the hearts of each person sitting in the circle. The female fairy, carrying a tiny wand, slid it around the circle, touching each of us on the third eye, creating a transformational, magical sparkle of light. Woven waves of energy light up my cells, and a smile of delight flushes my face as I recall these moments as I was writing this foreword for Michael. I could barely contain my excitement those many years ago. The moment we finished the meditation, I blurted out, "Who saw them?" Several acknowledged their presence, including Michael. It's curious that I don't remember more detail, but that propitious day opened new realms for me, which I attribute to Michael's influence. One of my favorite chapters in this inspiring book you have to have in your hand. So actually, I won't go on because I want you to get this book. But that experience was just so incredible for me. And that's why sharing this experience is particularly propitious. So I went to visit. Michael said, "Go out and sit with the tree." I had my journal in my hand, and I want to remind you, I find this journaling that we do during our course that Sandy so beautifully leads is really important. I get words, but many of you have gotten these really wonderful visuals that you draw. So I'm walking out toward the tree. Understand, I've never spoken with a tree before or listened to a tree. And this is what I got. "Come and sit by me and I will tell you a story. Sit on me anywhere in the sun." And I'm thinking, wait a minute, I'm on my way out there. Like, the tree is in sight, but I figure I'm writing as I'm walking. I figured it had to be the tree. "Once upon a time, I was one of many like me. We had lived long upon this earth and had acquired much wisdom. Our understanding and love sent out positive vibrations, which had far-reaching effect. Then came man with his lack of understanding. And I asked the tree, 'When was this?' And the tree responded, 'It is not important, as the time of which I speak is not measurable in your mind. The positive ions which were created by disruptive thoughts and actions caused disturbances to what you think of as the atmosphere, but it's really the delicate balance of nature, patterns of molecules and molecular structure of which you were recently told.'" And I had been getting this other stuff that I'd been writing, and just like from this amazing information. And I have to tell you that when I was writing this and I wrote positive ions that created disruptive thoughts, like, I didn't know that positive ions create disruptive thoughts, but thank heaven I trust. And so I wrote that. I found that later. It's true. The tree went on, "The imbalance or negativity from these disruptive thoughts became so great that the entire planet was affected, as was your universe. That is what caused the actual axis imbalance of your planet. That is when the shift in axis occurred." And you have to understand, it's just like through trusting my intuition that I kept writing, because I didn't know that actually the continents had shifted and the whole planet shifted, found out later. "In order to rebalance or realign the earth, your people must once again recognize the kingdoms of the plants, the animals, the minerals, and the nature spirits as one and as vital to the survival on the planet, that your race recognize the God within is only the start, that we, the kingdoms, are recognized as one with you in the balance of existence is the key to not only survival, but to heaven on earth." And that my dear friends, that connection to nature, to giving gratitude for observing and just talking to your plants and sending smiles around you to the beauties of nature, to the birds, to the bees, to the ants. And just connecting as you remember this oneness with all that is, with this divine spark within, with this source energy and all it is. So we, Sandy and Eleanor, we thank you. And Sandy?
Thank you, Linda. There's so much in here. There's so much in here. And it brought me to tears. I've heard you read this before. I've read it. And sometimes things just touch you being right in the center. And I'm wondering what you might have to invite participants to journal or write about in relation to this. You can listen back to over and over to this. What would you suggest?
What I'd like to suggest that each one of you just to think about that. Okay, what part of the nature, the perhaps the stones that you treasure, the crystals, the perhaps some of you love the nature spirits and the fairies as I do, to the trees. I actually touch my plants. And I'd like to ask you to just open to that knowing, that right brain knowing, and trust your intuition, trust what comes to you, and simply pull out your journal and start writing. And ask these various kingdoms for a message that we can share that will help us remember that divine spark in every cell in our body, that connection to all that is. What inspires you from the message from the fig tree? And share it with us on Tea Touch for You 2018. We'll keep that title because we have all these wonderful sharings for people who are, for those of you who are in the workshop, in this process of remembering heaven on earth. And remember, this heaven on earth is when we connect to that source energy, that divine spirit within. And remember, we are one with all that is. Let's do a heart hug and take a deep breath and a smile and send this deep appreciation for Mother Earth and Mother Nature and all the animals and all the plants and all the minerals and all the nature spirits. And just see which aspect of this today just speaks to you. Just sit down and write just what comes to you. We look forward to sharing.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
And Sandy, I would like to ask you, actually, just intuitively, which part, what came to you just this time?
It's really the place that it's touching in my heart, that it's not a specific image and it's not a specific piece. That's conscious yet. It's, I feel so touched in my heart about the connections. And one of the things that I do with things like this is I will journal and just let myself start painting colors and draw and see who and what emerges. And I allow that to inform me. And it's, helps me get out of my head and just to experience what's coming to me differently. So thank you.
Beautiful. Thank you. We look forward to it. Aloha from beautiful Hawaii.
Aloha from California.